Sleepy Little Raccoon Chatter podcast will contain adult content and language, as well as dark humor throughout many episodes. If you're continuing to join me in my chatter, welcome to the forest. Show's about to begin. Merry Christmas, happy holidays to my little critter friends. It is episode 2 of Sleepy Little Raccoon Chatter Podcast. And I did change this up a little bit. I promised 12 ghosts of Christmas. Unfortunately, just again, life. It's the holidays. I have had one thing after another where my contacts are messing up during my research. My phone wants to die while I'm recording. But it's still a wonderful time of the year. We are almost done with 2020. We're going to bring in a new year, which is going to bring new things for the podcast. And I started off with that song not only because positive vibes, the line, "There'll be scary ghost stories and of Christmases long, long ago." That is Andy Williams' "Most Wonderful Time of the Year" song. That line comes from the 19th century traditional pastime, mostly British, where family and friends would gather on Christmas Eve and tell ghost stories. So, only seemed fitting that I include that in. And most of these stories are going to be from the UK. I'm keeping them short. Again, research just wasn't there with kids, contacts, technical errors. But I did want to make sure to get something out to you. So I got 8 hauntings of Christmas. For our first haunting, we traveled to Suffolk, England, to the Roos Hall. It is about a half mile west of Beccles and said to have had the devil's footprint imprinted on one of its walls, as well as known to be one of the most haunted houses in England, most notorious for having the infamous hanging tree on its grounds, and perhaps that is where this occurrence stems from. Every Christmas Eve, a headless horseman is seen racing his carriage and 4 black headless horses soundlessly down the drive towards the house and disappear as quick as he appears. And nobody has a reason for why he chose Christmas Eve for his haunting. But I'm going to go out on a limb and say the hanging tree is why he's headless. My second story takes place in a location that many Americans are very familiar with the name of. The island of Alcatraz. It has a long and spooky history. In its early days, Native Americans supposedly used it to banish miscreants to the island for punishment. And in 1934 is when it became a federal prison that we all know it as. Before being shut down in 1963, it held many famous prisoners such as Al Capone. And today, often, many report occurrences such as hearing screams, the clanging of metal doors, and the sound of voices within the wall. Nothing seems to be as chilling as one Christmas day in the 1940s when Warden James Johnson held a Christmas Day party at his residence for the staff at the prison. Holiday spirits came to a halt when an apparition sporting mutton chop whiskers and a gray suit appeared. Right before the spirit disappeared, returning all back to normal, the temperature dramatically dropped and the fire blew out. The celebration was brought to an end as many of the guards were too afraid to continue to stay at their residence. I'm going to add a little personal opinion here. From my former career, I'm not sure if the prisoners of Alcatraz wouldn't be scarier than the ghost. But that says a lot about what happened that night if the guards are more scared of the ghosts than the prisoners. Because Alcatraz, being a federal prison, had some of the worst of worst prisoners. Then again, I'm not sure it's as scary as what happened in the next story for one man. The stories of Bramshell House in Hampshire, England are hard to determine the exact origin due to many retellings over the centuries. But it has been believed to start from the disappearance of Lord Lavelle's bride. A Christmas-themed wedding was set for Lord Lavelle and a young woman related to Sir John Cope. There was mistletoe hung through the home, and that inspired the wedding party to play a game. The bride-to-be would hide somewhere within the mansion, and the groomsmen would hunt her down, or hunt, seek her. Yeah, hunter. Like, that was poor wording on my behalf. The first groomsman to find her would kiss her. I thought back in, like, those days, it was, you're supposed to save purity for your significant other. So this game seems a little off to me, but hey, we never know. The bride hid, the party went to seek her out, and minutes turned into hours. Eventually, the game turned serious as no one was ever able to locate her. 50 years later, Lord Lavelle was still seeking answers to her disappearance and happened upon a secret closet in the upstairs bedroom. In this closet, he discovered a wooden chest sealed shut with a lock. Once the lock was opened, he found a nearly unrecognizable remains of his bride-to-be. I'm having a hard time grasping that after 50 years of sitting there, no matter where this room was located or how little you visit it, you would not have smelt something before 50 years. But again, things were built differently back then, and it may have been sealed off better than I think. For story number 4, we are going to my home state. The Hotel Bethlehem in Bethlehem, PA, known for a number of chilling ghost stories, most which center around a young woman named Mary Yowie. Mary was raised on a stage and was passionate about singing and performing from such a young age. She traveled and performed on stages in Paris and all throughout Europe. She also caught the attention of a wealthy lord, which they quickly got married. Her success would also be part of her downfalls. The marriage fell apart after the lord went bankrupt and she went on to marry an American soldier. This soldier ended up robbing most of her wealth, and when she eventually passed, it is said that she referred to her times at the Bethlehem Hotel as her best days in her life. To this day, around Christmas, many hotel visitors claim to see the apparition of May, dressed elegantly and singing at the piano or pacing near the tree, and some have even been fortunate enough to hear her faintly singing one of her favorite songs. Vera Stark. In Ludington, Michigan, this story doesn't have much of a background as I would like it to have, but when I looked up the Stark family name, I mostly got just current business that's linked to the name, and yes, my nerd side went right away to where some of the search led to, which was Marvel Comics, Tony Stark, and Iron Man. But Vera's story is different. In a Victorian home located in London, Michigan, the Stark family left behind many spirits. Numerous being said around Christmas time. Vera Stark was known for her eccentric lifestyle and seemed to have brought that into her afterlife as well. Those who report seeing her around Christmas say she was wearing only a fur coat and picking flowers in the front yard, which is what they would have known her to do in real life. Another noted spirit to join Vera at times in the home is a daughter of the Starks who walks through the hallways. Current owners have tried to open a home up to public, but always seem to run into troubles, and hence have taken it as a sign that the spirits are not welcoming to others in their home. This one is a broad range location as well. Geoffrey de Manville held the title of Earl of Essex and owned property throughout Europe in the 1100s. With the title Earl, he had great influence over royal politics, and when a debate regarding a rightful heir to the throne emerged him, he was on the losing side. This led to many of his assets being promptly stripped, as well as excommunication from the church. Which, if anybody knows history at that time period, excommunication from the church leads to basically being exiled. And at the time this was happening, Geoffrey was slain on the battlefield and was denied a proper Christian interment. And many believe that this led him to being trapped between realms. He also was thought to believe to have left curse on the property, where if any of his property was taken from him, ruin would fall on his betrayer. And now, every 6 years on Christmas Eve, in full knight armor, draped in a red cloak, and with a headless dog, he haunts the lands. I need to take a quick break. I know these are short, and this is going to be a short episode, but I need to get a drink. I am at work as well, so I'm going to take a quick break, tend to some things, and we'll come back for the last two stories, as well as just a brief, like, chit-chat moment to end out 2020. Welcome back, Critter Friends. We are wrapping this episode up, as short as it's gonna be, but we're gonna get there. It's a work in progress, and that's all we can do. So we're gonna go on to number 7. Gilbert the Highwayman. And all that was found on this location as well was that it's England. So, on Christmas Eve in the late 1800s, a highwayman only known as Gilbert was wandering a main road when he apprehended a man and his daughter in their horse-drawn coach. The daughter was able to flee from the coach, but the horses came startled and bolted down the road with the father and coachman. By the time the two men got the horses settled and returned to where the daughter was left, she was nowhere in sight. However, they did find Gilbert hunched over the ground with a dagger in his side. It was rumored that Gilbert had confessed to the daughter. He was the one who killed her brother some time back, and in a rage, she stabbed him and then fled the scene. Legend also says that Gilbert was buried on the side of the road, and he returns every Christmas Eve to wait for the father and daughter coach to return. Our final story. This one just isn't as scary, but it's kind of interesting and nice to end on a more uppity note a bit. The Crescent Hotel. It was built in the 1880s and has been plagued with tragedy. Stories of spirits being spotted or made known are vast. One year during Christmas time, visitors gathered to see the hotel's grand Christmas tree, only to find the tree and packages mysteriously moved to the other side of the room. Many would have said that this prank was done by the hotel staff, but various sightings of a spirit dressed in Victorian clothing wandering aimlessly around the dining hall, and when the staff went to return the tree to the original location the next day, it was already moved back. Most most people of the Crescent Hotel believe that the spirits that are there are not harmful. They are just playful pranksters. Which I would guess if you're just moving a Christmas tree and some packages, they are. They're just going to be playful. So I do thank you for bearing with me and understanding this is a short one. I got big things coming up. I'm working on merch already, and not just merch for the podcast, but merch for TikTok, merch for any venture I'm going on. I'm also, next episode, I will have a guest. And I'm gonna let him introduce himself because he goes by many names. And we're just kind of bouncing around a topic still. We have a couple in mind. Like, we're thinking, like, something comics because we're both nerdy like that. We're also thinking, like, hey, New Year's. Maybe we'll throw out some, like, drinking stories. If you're hearing this, like, and want to throw in a suggestion, like I said, give me a suggestion. Email me, sleepylittleraccoonchatterpod@gmail.com. Also, anybody that knows me from TikTok, anybody that knows me in person, I am not one to demand money. I am not one to ask for help, and that's not what I'm doing, but there is an option in the link if you would like to donate and support. I'm working on Patreon. I'm working on it. But as of right now, there is a link for the Anchor support. There's like $1, $5, $10, I think. That is to help get me better equipment, help, you know, maybe be able to subscribe to some places that I can get better research. And just get the podcast going a little more. It is not required. I appreciate you at any point just for listening. Just for supporting me by being there. But shoot me an email. Shoot me a text. Join me on TikTok. Sleepy Little Raccoon. That's it. You'll know it's me. I advertise the podcast on there. If you have suggestions, if you have stories, if you have a topic, it is mostly true crime and paranormal, but my life is based around randomness right now, so that's what I'm going to go with. I hope you all have a blessed holiday, whether that is Hanukkah, Kwanzaa, Christmas, Yule. Just stay positive. Be there for each other. Smile. Because somebody may need it as much as you need them to smile at you. And remember, you're never alone. You can always reach out. Happy holidays. Till next time, little raccoon chatter friends.